Hey, you with the face. Yeah, I'm looking at you with my face. In fact, we're face buddies. High five, face buddy. Hell yeah, well, this is Hack the Dino Gaming Cast. We bring you the past, present, and future of video games news, previews, discussions, and faces, where we talk about all the top faces in the world. Number 9 coming in the top 10 faces of the planet is that of Genji. Anto, tell us about Genji.
He's a pain in the ass to play against in Overwatch. He's a pain in the ass to play in Overwatch. And, yeah, face buddies.
I didn't know who Genji was. That was a name I pulled out of midair. I was hoping it wasn't a comic book character, but I should know better than to go to the human encyclopedia of video games. Anto!
Hello, everyone!
What's going on?
Yeah, not much. I've been playing video games for like a week straight.
Sorry, Mr. Liarface.
What?
Video games as in plural.
Okay. No, I've played some Helldivers 2, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah,
really?
So video games, Deuce 2.
Right. Deuce.
Deuces.
Anyway, speaking of deuces, Brayden.
Whoa. Welcome back. Hi.
I was going to say, what are your thoughts on the 1990s classic Deuce Bigelow Male Gigolo?
Whoa.
I'm just digging that hole deeper, aren't I?
Yeah, wow, damn. God damn. No, I'm way more of a fan of... What's that other bloody film that he was in? Was it Animal?
Where he's a carrot?
No, the really problematic one where he was the animal or something. What's that one?
I don't know.
Apparently, Brayden's the hot version
of me. What's
that
actor?
I don't know.
Male Gigolo.
Anyway, we talk about video games here, not stupid right-wing Rob Schneider horrible flicks that you want to vomit when you watch them with your face. That's right. Little known fact, you can actually vomit with your whole face.
I didn't know that.
I've done it a couple of times, watching Rob Schneider pretend to act. Anyway.
Animal, wrong screen. Oh,
that's a good screen.
Wrong screen.
Spoiler alert, Mon Mothra is making an appearance.
Whoa. There it is. Ugh. Definitely animal abuse in this movie, surely.
Oh.
For the podcast listeners, you're welcome. Anyway, when we're not talking about Rob Schneider, we're talking about video games. And someone who was instrumental in video games and I think the pop culture as a whole was one Akira Toriyama, who you may know as the creator of Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball at large.
Dr. Slump.
Yes. And of course, a little game that we're all familiar with called Chrono Trigger. Now, we all love Chrono Trigger. We all agree it's the greatest game in existence.
We're not experiencing an earthquake. There are just technical adjustments being made.
For the podcast listeners, take that what you will. It came out today as we record this that Akira Toriyama has sadly passed away at, I think, the age of 68 or 66?
68, and he suffered from a subdermal hematoma, which generally is caused by an accidental fall. And is caused, it causes bleeding
like
between
plot?
The tissue,
yeah.
Between your brain and your skull, and it's not a good time.
Right, but that's one of the painless ones, right? Like, he wouldn't have known, he would have like stood up and...
Probably would have stayed down, honestly, and gone up.
Anyway, very sad times. We don't want to make light of these situations. He was an absolute icon and legend of the industry, responsible for a lot of the stuff that not only we love here at Hack the Dino, but everyone around the world loves. And yeah, we just wanted to shout out an actual legend of the industry of both video games, anime, and everything,
just
really.
We probably wouldn't have most of the stuff we do from Japan, including a lot of anime, if it weren't for Akira Toriyama. So rest in peace, Akira Toriyama. You will be missed.
Brayden, follow that up.
Yep. Yeah, sure thing. I'll do that. Why not?
So what's going on in the wacky world of Brayden?
Oh, you know, just having a great time, you know? No, legitimately. Was very sad at work today when I stumbled across that bit of news releasing. And yeah, man, that sucks. Like my cousin showing me Dragon Ball Z and being like, look how badass this is. And like,
it
me
was.
Being a little kid and like being like, whoa.
Some of the main things
that I drew as a little kid was like, Dragon Ball Z characters.
I was like a 14-year-old kid in high school when Dragon Ball Z first aired over here. So can you imagine my obsession, especially with the current martial arts kick that I've been on for the past 20-odd years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, what's everyone doing? What's been happening? What's been going on? We'll come to Anto last, I think, because your diatribe might go for a bit.
That's fair.
I'm going to try and keep it short, I promise.
But I will say first at the top of the show, this is going to be, as we're recording this, so parting the kimono, as Braden likes to say.
That's it.
What?
This, when we stream on twitch.tv/hackthedino, and then when you rewatch that stream over on youtube.com/hackthedino or listen to it on all podcast apps, and just head over to hackthedino.com, you can catch it all. We usually condense two shows into one recording. Spoiler alert. You may have noticed that over the course of 2 weeks, we don't change clothes that much. What?
I never even thought of that.
The good detectives would have picked that up.
Damn it, I didn't think of that.
From now on, we each have to bring a change of clothes. Okay. I've just decided. But this week, we're recording a short one-hour episode over on twitch.tv/hackthedino because next week, we are back to the full-length two-hour live stream extravaganza for reasons that you'll have to tune into. Special reasons. One special reason. The specialist reason.
Capitalism.
Yes, that's
no,
right.
No.
Capitalism only works if you're receiving money, though.
But support us on Patreon.
I was going to say, like, we're anti-capitalism in that we don't... Well, I think we spend more money than we could ever hope to make.
Yeah, bless.
But no,
we should mention, yeah, that changes our fortnightly live streams to be the other fortnight now. So keep track of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it in your calendars, everyone.
Starting next Friday... That's the regular programming every fortnight from there.
Yeah. So I was talking to Mike Towns in Discord, which you can join by heading over to hackthedino.com and clicking on the Discord. That's free. But I was talking to Michael Towns, and he said, this isn't what I pay for. He pays for a full two-hour live show. And that's right. You know, show sponsor Michael Towns, he does pay for that.
He does make a good point.
But he's getting three shows in the course of 2 weeks, so actually he owes us money.
Yeah, you ungrateful son of a moose. You're not ungrateful. We love you.
Anyway, speaking of mooses... Braden!
What?
Well, I'm getting the real short end of the stick over here sometimes.
I mean, you did just get called the hot version of me, so...
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Take it.
I totally zoned out for a sec.
What have you been playing? What have you been doing?
I have been playing... Well, I've been trying to play a little bit of the original Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy 1 or 7?
Final Fantasy VII, my brain.
You know, the final one.
The heat Shut to up. My brain. I can't handle this weather, my lads. So I've been trying to play that. I've also been playing Mass Effect 2.
Hey!
Great fun.
Love me some Mass Effect.
Working through the trilogy. But a new game came out this past week, and I've gotten stuck into it. And it's WWE 2K24.
This ad is so good.
It's such a good ad. I wanted to start with it because it's brilliant.
Can you describe it for the podcast listeners for us?
This entire ad is shot in first person as though you were getting absolutely annihilated by a bunch of wrestlers as it evolves through time. So you fight against Hulk Hogan, then Stone Cold Steve Austin, and then to modern era. And my God, is it fun.
It's so good.
It's so cool. You get some Uncanny Valley with like Undertaker's face and stuff, but like... It's fun. Motley Crue's Kickstart My Heart's playing. It's a great time. But yeah, I really enjoyed this trailer and it got me hyped. And I've been playing it a bit. There's Mummy. Respect to Mummy. She's always on top. And
good on Rhea.
Good on Rhea. And yeah, I've been playing a bit of the showcase mode.
Yep.
Which for this year is a showcase of all of WrestleMania's past. So it's mainly, it goes and shows and focuses on particular matches.
So does
like
it, does
WrestleMania 3, WrestleMania 5. And
does it focus on the past, present and future of WrestleManias?
News,
previews and discussions?
Not the future though.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it predicts like who's going to win out of Cody and Seth and The Rock and Roman. That'd be cool.
Actually, I don't know. I cannot pick this storyline.
Alex
I do not know what
Alex has a good idea for it, and I will tell you later.
You know, we'll do that in the post show that we're going to do for our Patreons exclusive. Braden and I are going to get nerdy about WWE.
Does it have anything to do with generative AI and video games?
God, no.
Because that's what I would imagine they'll do with video game versions of this in future, is they'll start predicting it using AI.
Oh, God.
And that's how the game will be monetized forever.
Gross.
But, yeah, I haven't played a WWE game since, like, SmackDown vs. Raw 2009 on the PS2.
Oh, wow.
So it's been a while for me.
You know, it's taken me 6 or 7 years, but I finally, because Floppy also is getting into wrestling.
Yep.
So I've got Braden into wrestling. Floppy's into wrestling. Anto, you're next.
Yeah. Look, I'm into wrestling as far as Kenny Omega, and that's it.
Well, he's out for a while because he's severely injured, but...
That's fine. He can be injured. I still think he's the coolest thing wrestling has ever done.
Well, you're correct.
And it's mostly because he's just cool.
It's true. Yeah.
It is
so 100%. This on the screen right now is actually the first one of those WrestleMania showcase modes. So you play as, I believe it's the Dragon.
Ricky the Steamboat.
Ricky Steamboat, the Dragon. And he goes up against Savage.
Ooh, yeah.
And then you play Hulk versus Giant.
Andre the Giant.
And I love how it cuts between real life footage, which WWE is probably going to go after us for. And then it jumps.
Oh, yeah, this is 100% getting flagged.
Straight between that to you playing those matches. And it gives you specific objectives to try and do.
Right.
And then once you hit a specific amount of objectives, when you hit the next objective, it'll intercut into the next bit. And it plays out like a documentary where, like, they've actually got, like, voiceover of, like, them, like, explaining everything going on and talking about it and everything.
I don't want to highlight anything, but I will. So, AEW that came out recently.
Yes.
Did exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's just a straight up sort of...
WWE copied AEW, who would have thought?
They've been doing showcase mode for a while. I think the last one was John Cena throughout his entire career. Yep.
That's
it. But yeah, so you get it goes between all of them. It's really, really fun. I've really been enjoying it. I haven't even touched the, like, you can create your own female superstar and your own male superstar, and they've each got their own, like, original storylines.
Why would you when Rhea Ripley already exists?
It's true, but, you know, it's a little bit of fun. And then you can go through and play your universe and stuff. They've got factions, which is like... It's like the card based one that they're trying to get you to buy packs for, and like you just ignore it, like you just don't even look at it, and it's fine.
And Greg Miller's in it.
I actually don't know if Greg Miller's in this one.
Greg Miller's a card.
I think he's a card in the factions. Yeah, yeah. But I would love if he was. There's so many freaking wrestlers on this roster. This roster is so long, yeah. And in the DLC you get CM Punk. Who's just come in. They've added him to the DLC. And in the DLC, you also get Post Malone, because Post Malone curated the soundtrack.
Nice.
Okay.
Incidentally, and just one thing. How good is Drew McIntyre at the moment?
Oh, he's so good.
How good is Drew McIntyre? Oh, my God.
This isn't just going to become wrestling talk.
No, it's not. That'll be the post show.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it then.
It's really, really fun. I'm going to keep sticking with it. I'm keen to do more of the showcase mode, get up through WrestleManias.
Why is Bad Bunny accompanying Kane? No, he's tagging with Yokozuna. Pastel...
Yeah, I don't know what's up with this color palette. That's interesting, but...
Oh, well.
Yeah, it's great fun. I recommend it to anyone who's into wrestling. And if you're not into wrestling, you should get into wrestling because it's good again.
It's great. I was saying this, funnily enough, Chris Basso.
What?
At Riot City Wrestling.
Yeah.
Past weekend. We were talking about this and I said, you know what? The Attitude Era is known as sort of like the great era because nostalgia. What we're living in now is the true golden age of wrestling. Guarantee it. So jump on board now. AEW, WWE, both are doing wonderful things. Both are doing things that are going...
I believe it was you who said, like, because this is like the sequel to the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Because enough time has passed now where, like, other people have taken over control and, like, we've got this new blood in and then it, like,
It's the sequel because the Attitude Era ended with Vince McMahon resigning in disgrace and probably going to jail like he should. DX running the company, The Rock moving to Hollywood and becoming a superstar, and Stone Cold Steve Austin just rides off into the sunset and sits on his ranch and drinks beer.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's like the sequel. Anyway, video games. Hey, Anto, you're here as well.
Hello.
Ben, you should talk about the things you've been
playing. No, like seriously, this is totally fine because I'm about to, in a minute, you know, do a lot of talking about something that is very near and dear to me.
That's true. Yeah.
That you two probably aren't super versed in. So it makes a lot of sense for you guys to take up some time, honestly.
All right. Well, I'll quickly talk about what I've been playing. Then I want to talk about a very cool little pickup I had during the week, which I got really excited about. So I came home last night, turned on my Switch, found Mon Mothma. That's right. I've been playing Dark Forces. Now, Dark Forces is very special to me. Like, I've always wanted the big box for the PC. Dark Forces came out when I was about 15, 16, at the height of my Star Wars obsession. Like, I was burning through books one a week, like the novels,
the extended universe novels. Yep.
So they're all in my games room. You can go in there and have a look. I would read them and then I'd go back. I read Heir to the Empire so many times because it was such an amazing book. Anyway, I downloaded this and we can see the remaster on the screen now. It looks really nice, doesn't it? It does, really smooth and whatnot. No. None of that for me. You can scale it back to how it originally appeared.
Oh my God.
I love it.
Chunky ass pixels, crappy little frame rates. It's amazing. This little MIDI playing, like the MIDI versions of the Star Wars theme just on loop. It is so good. It is such a wonderful, seamless remake. And this one you can look up and down.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been able to do that in the
original. No, you couldn't. So basically, if you've not played Dark Forces, it's Doom, but Star Wars. That's it.
By any chance, was this made by id Software?
Yes, the original was. Well, it's by Lucasfilm, but yes, I believe they got it in to do it because it is very Doom-like.
That's hilarious.
Just an amazing, amazing game. And what's even funnier is that this is the game that started the Jedi Order franchise.
Oh, okay.
So after this one, the sequel was Dark Forces Jedi Knight, and then it went just Jedi Knight. So without this game, we wouldn't have KOTOR.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
That KOTOR remake that was supposed to come out.
That's not happening.
It's not happening anymore.
How about that Mandalorian game, huh?
Also gone. That's also dead. Also dead. Do you know what else is dead? I was when I got this deal during the week.
Ah, here we go.
So very, very quickly. If you've been paying attention to Super Retro Squad over there on the YouTubes, is where I record all the deals I stumble upon when I go out retro hunting with a friend of the show, Julian of Ghost Games. And sometimes we have special guests. Floppy came along with us one time.
I may be able to come along in future when I will be living 2 minutes around the corner from you.
Yes. Spoiler alert, don't dox us.
I won't.
I've got to reach over here. I answered an ad on Marketplace that was selling some Game Boy games. And in those Game Boy games was, there was some Mario Land. There was, a cheap knockoff game, which they're always fun, those bootleg games. But also a couple of little games called Pokemon Red and Pokemon Blue.
Ooh.
So I went and grabbed them. And then when I got there, the gentleman was there and he said, oh, I've also got these Game Boys, which we can see on screen now. Would you like them? And I went, yeah, sure. So I negotiated with him there basically he said, I want this much. And I went, yep, okay. Because they were really good condition.
Yeah.
Like, exceptionally good condition.
I mean, I've seen them. I know they're very nice. Yeah.
Braden, you're going to spoil it. Then he said, oh, do you like Pokemon cards? And I said, oh, I mean, they're not really my thing, but I'll have a look at them. And he goes, oh, hang on a sec. And he went out and he brought out this folder, which we can see on the screen here, but I'm also going to show you. These aren't the folders that it came in. I've since re-put them in. Yeah, sure. Not that one yet.
No, you give me the word.
This one here, which we can see on screen that I'm holding, is a complete base set of the original Pokemon series, the second printing. So it's all the basic cards, all in there. They're in there. Pretty cool. So about $300 worth of cards there. Not bad. Not bad at all. But then in the back of the folder, pulled it up, was another base set. Only missing one trainer card. So that's two base sets of the original Pokemon series right there. But that's not all. Also, and there was some fossil sets of fossil and whatnot. We had these promo cards. Remember when we had the Pokemon Tour in 2000 or 99 or whatever it was?
When
Mewtwo
Strikes Back came out in 2000, yep.
And you went to the cinema and you got the movie, the cards?
Which weren't tournament legal at the time for some reason.
But I've got a full set of that, including a double of Mewtwo. They were in there, which was pretty awesome. I was speaking to Julian because he knows a lot about games, a lot more than I do. And apparently this Pikachu one, he said, oh, they're not worth much. One sold less than 2 weeks ago for $200.
Jesus.
But I might keep them. Then.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. These are all hollows. These are all hollows from that original base set. So I have almost a full base set. Almost two full base sets. But I know what you're thinking. Isn't there a really expensive card in that base set? Like, isn't there one that's like worth more than anything? And I go, oh, the Alakazam card? That's worth about $200? No? Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. My mistake. Is it these two Zapdos cards, which are worth about $100 each?
That was my first shiny card.
Yeah?
That was my first shiny pull from a booster.
Yep. No, not that one? Okay. All right. Sorry. My mistake. Hollow Raichu? No, they're only worth about 60. Okay. All right.
You've spoiled it for yourself, Ben.
You're spoiling it. You should have put it down. Anyway, long story short, I got the freaking Charizard, all right? There it is. Got me a Charizard. Look at that symmetry.
So cool.
This is one thing that I never thought I'd own, purely because like the cards were never really my thing. God.
That's a great, great zoom in. That's brilliant.
There you go. That's double the Ben. Yeah. So now I have to come to the hard decision. Do I keep a full set of Pokemon cards or do I sell them? Because I added them up just before and there's close to $3,000 worth of cards here. And I'm thinking that might buy me some pretty cool Nintendo stuff.
Yeah, that would. That's crazy.
So I got a pretty good deal. Like I called Julian straight away after I got it because I was driving away and just talking to him.
Guess what I got?
Yeah, basically what was that? And as I was driving, Julian was at home looking up for me going, yeah, that's worth this much. That's worth this much. Yeah, so if you go into the Adelaide Comic and Toy Fair, I might have some cards for sale if you want to throw money at me.
That's right. Even though it's called the Comic and Toy Fair, Pokemon cards will be available.
It's for Gurks.
It's for
I meant to say
it's for pickles
and geeks at the same time and came up with Gurks. So
Gherkins. Gerds and Neeks.
You're all Gurks. Sounds like a horrible slur. Anto.
Hello.
What have you been slurring?
my words mostly. After playing FF7 Rebirth for a week solid. So yeah, everyone knows, and there are two people who are probably sick of me talking about it. No. Cough, Game Boy Dad. Cough, Mike Towns.
Look, I'm going to stop everyone there. It's actually really nice to see someone so passionate about something that they just want to share it with people.
Oh, I won't be going into spoilers, so if anyone is concerned about that, don't be. I'm literally just going to nerd out like an idiot.
However, I will. Barrett turns into a coffee machine.
That's racist.
What? How?
Something about skin color, I don't know.
No, he just turns into a coffee machine.
You were saying he looks like a bean.
No, he's got a big metal arm. And I thought, well, that could be a coffee machine.
I mean, you could grind coffee with a minigun.
That's right. See? Not racist at all. In fact, it's thrifty.
Yeah, so again, no spoilers. Literally just going to be talking remake versus rebirth differences, that sort of thing. Before I go ahead and say best game ever, which, you know, it's easily my game of the year, and I don't think anything will top it. I think my fandom, I know enough about sort of video game design, at least in a very amateur sense, that I can tell what parts in Remake were annoying, and my fandom isn't strong enough to sort of make me ignore bad things. Remake was full of stuff that, you know, wasn't so great. You know, there were long sort of forced slow movement sections to obviously load assets and stuff like that, which is pretty common on last gen hardware. So far, I have zero complaints about FF7 Rebirth as far as gameplay, presentation, visuals, music.
Do you know the complaint I have?
What?
Is you making your point by hitting the table and the microphone.
I'm sorry. I'm excited and animated. And it's either that or I karate chop you.
That's fine. I've got a broken toe. I can deal with it.
This is absolutely insane. As a project, this is quite possibly the greatest thing ever. If Remake was the realization of what I thought this game was I was a child...
Why are they in Portal 2?
They're not in Portal 2. They're in a reactor.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So Remake was like, you know, hey, this is it realized. This is... Remake feels like a proof of concept compared to Rebirth. This is a fully realized, perfectly designed gameplay loop of, hey, go explore a thing. Now you've got combat challenges to do. Once you've done that, you've got more stuff to do. It just keeps opening up and fleshing itself out. And I've felt like I've been in a dreamlike stupor since I started this game. It's insane how much love and attention to detail they've put into this. And it's maddening that Square Enix don't give this much attention to other stuff. Because this is just proof they could do it.
Well, I mean, how are you going to sell NFTs with any other property?
They just shouldn't. But Michael Towns in the chat has just said, it feels like a less boring evolution from Breath of the Wild to Tears of a Kingdom. It's very much the opposite of that for me personally. Breath of the Wild was fantastic. Tears of a Kingdom added Minecraft to Zelda, which I didn't think was necessary. This is the opposite. It took a perfectly good base idea, iterated on it, and made it better. And I don't honestly know how they're going to do the third part and make it anywhere near as good.
Well, it'll come out on the PlayStation 7, so it'll be...
Probably. I don't expect we'll see it this generation at all. But yeah.
That'd be pretty cool, actually. One game that spans three gens.
Mm. Yeah, it's just... I'm not going to go on any longer because I will just end up repeating myself, but the combat is refined and just better than it was in Remake. The music is incredible. Like, you'll be wandering the overworld, you'll hear the crazy orchestration of the main theme from FF7, and then as soon as you enter combat, it immediately ramps up into a different arrangement of the same theme for the battle, and as soon as you're done, it slows its tempo down and goes back into the tranquil, sort of peaceful, like, hey, you're just exploring this crazy mystical fantasy world. It's...
Do you know what game also did that?
It's absolutely insane.
Game called Chrono Trigger did that really well.
It did, but in a much different 16-bit, less full orchestra, high production way.
Hey, I just told you about the MIDIs. Like, MIDIs are amazing.
MIDIs,
Brad,
are
do you remember MIDIs? Do you know what a MIDI is?
It's a my intense daydreams of
intestines. Yes, correct.
Yep.
No. So a MIDI was a highly compressed theme, like basically using the soundboard on a computer, which is extremely limited back in the 90s.
Yep.
To basically compress and make music. And that's where you get like these, you know, the Super Mario Brothers theme.
Yeah,
is basically
bleeps and bloops.
A MIDI. Yeah, bleeps Chip and bloops. MIDI.
Yeah.
To make a song. And that's what they had to use for video game soundtracks because before I went to CD, it wouldn't all fit on a cartridge, which is why a majority of the Nintendo games don't have any speech because space. And
sorry.
What is going on with Aerith?
Sorry, podcast listeners, but all of a sudden Aerith and everyone are running around on Segways.
Yeah, so...
Square Enix has gone too far.
It might be
too
worth,
far!
It might be worth turning off the video for now because right. This is getting into sort of spoilery stuff, even though it's been shown in the trailers, but I know a lot of people have stopped watching them. So I'll address Townsy's question in a second.
I'll just ask one thing.
Sorry, this isn't a spoiler. I want to know about this.
I could literally talk for 7 hours about how good Queen's Blood is.
Okay. Queen's Blood.
It's so good. It's so like Gwent, but
better. I was
going to
say, it's Gwent.
Gwent, but better.
Gwent, but better.
Ooh.
It's like Gurk, but better.
What was your question?
Do Cloud and Sephiroth go kissy time?
No, but in the Nibelheim flashback at the beginning that most people have played by now, there is a moment where they get very K-poppy and sort of close up on each other's faces and real close, and it looks like they're about to make out.
Hell
and
yeah.
I'm all for it.
Good.
Hell yeah.
That means less animation frames for the fans to finish the kiss.
But yeah, so Townsy asked, could the next one feel worse than this because this is so good? Or could it feel lesser somehow? If they make the next part and it's just prettier, and, you know, there are less sort of texture pop-in issues and things like that. Because there are a few things here and there. You know, this is really pushing my launch PS5 in terms of, like, fan noise and heat from events. If they just release a prettier next installment and it was just this in terms of combat and, like, the production that this is, it would be brilliant. I don't know how they're going to make it better. It's terrifying to think they could mess it up with Part 3. But I'm incredibly happy. There has just been so many moments where because Coda's been watching me play this on the couch the whole time.
Just through
She's
tears.
She's been very gracious. So,
it's so pretty.
Not quite that level, but there have been tears. So when Remake first happened, when the opening hit and you first see Cloud look up the first reactor, cried. When you get to Aerith's house for the first time and the music kicks in and the light just dissipates over everything, bawled my eyes out because it was perfect.
Except, so, how old were you when you played this game for the first time?
7.
7 years old. So it had... no, this is a legitimate thing.
Yeah.
It it's called a flashpoint memory.
Yep.
So in psychology,
this is a core thing for me.
Yeah, this is a flashpoint memory is where you can specifically remember something and it takes you back to that moment.
Yep.
And video games are full of those core point memories. I still have it with the Super Mario Brothers. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why I have a CRT in my video games room, because sometimes I just like putting on a VHS that I've watched a million times and just hearing that awful tinny sound of the VCR whirring away, yep, the muffled audio, and the horribly dull footage of a VHS playing, because it takes me back to the 90s where I grew up and where I had a really, really fun time because I didn't have any responsibilities of stupid adult life. I don't know what my point is, but nostalgia.
I'm actually going to expand on it because you've reminded me of what I wanted to say but forgot.
You're welcome.
So
good host.
I've been saying to Coda the entire time we've been dating that I wish there was a way to erase my memory of playing Seven for the first time, but still retain the fact that I know I enjoy it, but just get to like re-experience the first time I played it and the sense of wonder and crazy, like, holy shit, this is going to be important to me. This has recaptured that perfectly in every step of the story that's happened so far.
Because it's the same story, but kind of different.
So far, it's been very accurate to the original. There have been some differences.
So no more ghosts flying around?
I'm not saying anything because I'm not spoiling anything. There have been some narrative differences, but so far it has followed pretty much, like I'd say probably about 95% of the original plotline. There've just been additions and things here and there to add context and like flesh things out a bit, which is perfect. That's the whole reason these games are existing. But yeah, just it's... this is what I envisioned when I was young, and it's everything.
Can I tell you what I just envisioned?
What?
I don't know why. So we're looking at footage now of Cloud running around in the open world,
mm-hmm,
and you can see the Buster Sword predominantly on his back. And for whatever reason, I just had a picture of, instead of the Buster Sword, just a giant dildo.
Oh, dude, that'll happen when this releases on
PC.
But
one of the rubber ones, so as he moves, it sort of like wiggles a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. It'll happen, I promise you, it will happen.
No, I expect it.
Already
to not be
happened.
That, but to just be actually a mod that makes your main sword a body pillow of Sephiroth. That's what I expect.
And it'd be called Buster Nut Sword.
Jesus.
Yeah, Buster Nut Sword. That's brilliant. You should patent that. The last thing...
Anyone who needs a writer for any kind of porno, I'm here.
The last thing I'm going to touch on is just a comment from Townsy. In terms of like what the project is, like the remake project, it very much is the rebuild of Evangelion, but Final Fantasy VII. It feels like they've taken this super loved thing, but they're changing it around to make it sort of either the game they wanted to make at the time, but different. And I don't know where I'm going to go with it other than this, but so far, it's a 10 out of 10 for me. It always was going to be, unless they forced you to open a crypto wallet or something to start the game.
Unless they printed the wrong discs on the wrong label.
Or unless they did that, which they did.
Did you hear about that, Braden?
No, what happened?
In Japan, they accidentally printed the CDs on the... well, put the wrong labels on the wrong CDs.
Yeah. Braden. Oh, no, you hadn't frozen. You were just still.
Sorry, I was actively listening.
Yeah, so it harkens back to the original Final Fantasy VII with the spelling error.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's
been
a
few issues. Yeah, I've got it.
Do you know how much that goes for sealed?
Yeah, I know.
Like $6,000.
I know.
That's ridiculous. Is yours sealed?
No, it's not sealed.
I was
going to
say,
and
you're moving just down the road from me?
Shh. I know where you live too. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah, dang it.
But yeah, I'm going to wrap it up. It's perfect. If you like the original Final Fantasy VII and you're not, it's not a true remake, fuck off. If you like the original, play remake, play this, and just have a wonderful time. Honestly, it's the best thing that has happened video game wise to me in ever, pretty much.
So you're cheering. You're pretty happy.
I am very
you're
very
going
happy.
Woo!
I'm saying this is a woo. Woo! Yes. This
Which
is
brings
a
us
woo.
To our next new segment. Woo boo!
Woo boo!
Woo boo! That's right, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between. New segment here on Hack the Dino called Woo Boo, which is where I go to when we don't have any content for topics and I need something to fill the time. So Woo Boo is very, very easy. I have one sentence hot takes. I will read out these sent there, both from our Discord, which you can join over at hackthedino.com, from our lovely supporters over there in Discord, or they are from Braden or Anto or I, or even Floppy makes an appearance in some of these. Now, I will just read out these one sentence hot take. I almost said hot cake.
I mean, hot cakes are also tasty.
We have to decide whether they are woo, as in we agree, or boo, we disagree, and then explain why we are woo-booing. Are we ready?
Yes, woo, boo.
Braden, are you wooing?
Woo boo.
Woo boo. All right, here we go.
Woo.
Here's the first one. You may have seen it if you looked at the thumb for this show anyway. PSVR 2 is dead in the water after only 1 year. Anto, woo boo.
Hang on, wait. This doesn't really fit in the context of my brain.
You agree or you disagree?
I'm going to boo it and disagree.
Okay, why's that?
I think, and if anyone was paying attention to the chat Townsie and I were having in Discord earlier this afternoon, mm-hmm. A lot of what's happening in sort of a video game space as it is, there's a lot of layoffs, developers are being let go here and there and everywhere by all sorts of companies. And a lot of it, if not all of it, is being driven by the end of a financial year in America happening. Companies are laying off people so they can say, oh, look at all the wages we're no longer having to spend. Look at our profits. Hey, CEO shareholders, you're all happy now, right? So they're letting a lot of people go. And then in a few months' time, there'll be a massive hiring push. All these people will, well, not all, but most of these people will be back on board. All these teams will be filled again. And I don't think it's going to be a long-term thing. Like, there's no reason to put as much money into R&D for this thing as they did to give up on it after not even a year, like, what, it's been 7 or 8 months?
No, it's officially a year.
Okay. Well, yeah. But either way, like within a year, generally scrapping projects like that is an Alphabet/Google thing to do, not a Sony one. So, you know.
I will deposit this.
Deposit?
No, deposit.
Okay.
I'm taking it out, putting it in your lap.
Okay.
Actually, no, we'll get Braden's first and then I'll... Braden, what do you think? Woo-boo?
I mean...
Do the gimmick. Do the gimmick.
Woo.
Yes, thank you.
Based on the actions we've seen from Sony and PlayStation in regards to this, it's just odd to see something like get such a lack of support, and like
PS Vita happened.
Well, I mean, hey, two for two.
At least you could hack that.
Yeah.
But like, it's really odd because it's like you've got this thing. People say it's incredible. They say it's very good. And if it's this good, like, I would like to hear them be like, hey, yeah. Like, even if they're far away, at least being like, hey, we've got, four big titles being worked on right now, two of which will release by the end of the year. Like, even that's, like, the bare minimum, and we haven't even had that. So...
No, the bare minimum is we still support the PSVR 2.
The bare minimum is we have Beat Saber on it. That's it.
Oh, dude, Beat Saber got a Daft Punk pack and I've never wanted a headset more.
I can bring my Quest over and you can use it next time if
you
want.
Let's do it. you're just going to be down the road. Oh, man, I'm going to be playing so much Beat Saber.
Yeah.
I will just say to both of you.
Anto's house like a gym pass.
Yeah.
How many first party games have come out on the PSVR 2?
Like two?
One.
Yeah, wow.
One.
That's bad.
How many have been announced?
Horizon. Oh, that was the Horizon demo thing, wasn't it?
Yep.
Gee, that's...
How many games have been announced for a system that is in its first year, or just out of its first year, how many first-party games have been announced for this system?
None.
Zero. It's dead.
I think I'm changing my opinion to woo.
It is dead in the water. Sony have just left it.
Okay, let's just like... Let's say, okay, like even like first-party stuff, right? If they just went, hey, we're teaming up, we're getting our studios to team up with these VR developers that know VR back to front, they've been developing games for VR constantly, we're doing a first-person Infamous-style game where you get your superpowers and stuff. Cool, bit of fun. We have a first-person Ratchet and Clank.
It's not going to happen, by the way, because the Infamous sequel just got cancelled as well.
Yeah.
Didn't the team just get dissolved?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Boo.
Yay.
As Michael Towns in the live chat has just said, more games came out for the Virtual Boy. So there you go. This is Sony's Virtual Boy.
The
so you might want to buy one now and just keep it sealed in your wardrobe somewhere, and in about 20 years it might be worth something.
Or, just my advocate for, you know, modding and hacking stuff segment, if you do have one of these or you want to buy one, get it when it goes cheap. And if you've got a halfway decent gaming PC or a Steam Deck or a ROG Ally or whatever, someone has got these working on PC and you can use them there.
All right, next one. I'm going to throw it over to Michael Towns, one of our high-end Patreon supporters, in fact, producer. No. but Townsie did give us a couple of hot takes in the Discord, all of which I kind of agreed with. So Townsie's first hot take is Zelda 2 is superior to Zelda 1. Brayden, have you played either of these games?
Meh?
A woo-boo! It's undecided?
Yeah, I don't know. I got right. No idea what these things are.
Anto?
Woo,
you agree?
I do.
Why is that?
I agree purely because I had more fun with Zelda 2 as a game than I did with the first one. Mm-hmm. The first one was revolutionary, set the groundwork for sort of, you know, I guess open world adventure games. Mm-hmm. But Zelda 2 was a 2D side-scrolling RPG with stats and stuff that tickles my brain in a really nice way. The combat was more interesting because you actually had to, you know, do plunging and upwards thrusting attacks, I guess is the best way to put it. And I'm
plunging and
jerking
thrusting
off like an idiot. But yeah, no, the combat was good. Music was good. It looked nicer. It was just a good time. So yeah, I agree.
I half agree and half don't. Because nostalgia is going, nah, Zelda 1, dude. And you can't argue against that little nostalgia voice. But
would
Zelda
that be a woo-boo?
Well, I it'd be a woo-boo-boo. So it is Zelda 2 had more iconic moments in it, more iconic characters in it. Pretty much every main thing that we know and cherish in the Zelda franchise today came from Zelda 2, not necessarily Zelda 1.
Hyrule Temple theme is famous to more people because of Smash Melee.
Correct.
And that's where it came from, Zelda 2.
Yeah, so it's... I can agree and also disagree, but disagree is very...
So would you say you agree from an objective standpoint, mm-hmm. but from a subjective one, you disagree?
Sure, let's cool. go with that.
Yeah, done.
All right, next. One of mine. Who would have thought?
Oh, wow.
Chrono Trigger walks, so Final Fantasy VII could run. Anto.
Woo.
You agree?
Yeah, I agree. But purely based on my research I did for my RPG list a few shows ago.
Yeah, and what is that research? Just remind us. Give us the cliff notes.
Final Fantasy VII... I can't remember if I'm getting it the wrong way around or not. Effectively, one of these two, I think it was Chrono Trigger, started out as a tech sort of demo slash concept for VII.
Yes.
And then partway through development of that, they went, no, screw that. And then they took Chrono Trigger and elements from that same sort of proof of concept, split it off to make Secret of Mana, and it became two separate entities. Yes. So would absolutely agree there is DNA from VII in this, and likewise, you know, Chrono Trigger has, you know, team up attacks and stuff that is now...
That was the first one to
been
do it.
...pushed along evolutionary into Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Wasn't Chrono Trigger, their combat system was the first of its kind to do that, which is now basically the standard?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, the ATB system, like the where you wait for a timer to fill up and then you get to act and stuff, that was present in, I think, Final Fantasy IV
right.
to begin with. And it's just been iterated on in sort of every Square RPG ever since then.
So production on Final Fantasy VII stopped. Mm-hmm. They halted production on VII so they could finish Chrono Trigger.
Yep.
That's one of my main reasons. Like, yep. All the effort and focus went in, because Final Fantasy VII was never supposed to be this big mind-blowing game that it turned out to be.
No, it only happened because CD tech was cheaper and easier to make stuff on, and, you know, pushing an N64 cartridge to do what they had in mind wouldn't have worked.
Mm. Brayden. Woo-boo.
Woo!
Woo!
Yeah, I'm sold by all your guys' points just then.
Like, it's interesting that the artwork for VII there is using a mixture of original VII, Kingdom Hearts,
don't
Dissidia.
Don't judge the random photos I found on Google before the show started.
Also, don't look at the internet history.
Yeah, no, super don't. I searched up male jiggle at the start.
Oh, God.
All right, one from Floppy.
Oh, no, is it going to be the one I think it is?
Which one do you want? Do you want his first one or the second one?
Can I touch on both really quickly?
All right, very, very quickly. Okay. So we'll go to Brayden first for both of these, and we'll come to you. All right, Brayden, 2-for-1 deal. Floppy says Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 would benefit from remakes, and Cloud is the least interesting character in Final Fantasy VII. Woo-boo, Brayden?
Woo?
Really?
And...
The first one's woo?
First one's... So, woo for Kingdom Hearts actually getting a proper full-on remaster, because Jesus Christ, some of that I could not play. Like, I struggled with playing when I was trying to play through the HD remake or whatever. Like, oh. Yeah, modernize the hell out of that, please.
Right.
Kill the gummy ship with a nuke.
Oh my God, the gummy ship's some of the best stuff.
No, it sucks.
And the cloud comment?
And the cloud comment, I mean, I've only played a little bit of Final Fantasy VII, but, like, just from, like the gist of, like, some of the other characters that I've, like, seen parts of, I'm going to say Boo, because, like, Cloud is at least a little bit more interesting than just, like, generic white guy.
I'm going to expand on what you've just said quite heavily.
All right, go for it, Anto.
So we'll touch Kingdom Hearts first.
I cede my time to Anto.
Kingdom Hearts 2 is a basically perfect action RPG. Doesn't need to be touched again. The HD remix on PlayStation 4 specifically, running at 60 frames, makes it perfect. Kingdom Hearts 1, chuck it in the 2 engine. Done. You don't need to do anything more. Just rebuild it in the engine for 2. You're done. So, kind of agree for Kingdom Hearts 1, but not for 2. Cloud, however...
could go Super Saiyan,
I'd have blonde hair as spiky as Cloud's right now. So, Cloud in the original. And Remake and Rebirth, but we're not going to go into spoiler territory for those because people still haven't played them. Seven's 20-something years old now, so... Cloud is a traumatized, genetically modified, experimented on, tortured individual who was abused as a teenager by a mad scientist who has not necessarily amnesia, but more of like a forced...
trauma? PTSD?
He's got PTSD, yes. He, again, was genetically modified to basically be a pseudo-clone of the world's greatest hero, who also was a psycho with alien DNA.
Sephiroth.
Yes. He
watches... Does that make it worse or hotter that they kiss?
Both.
That was so quick.
He is rescued by his mentor and best friend, who he then watches die at the hands of the army he works for.
Sephiroth.
Zack.
Zakaroth.
No, just Zack. He then is forced by this weird, like, combination of, like, bullshit medical torture he went through to take on the persona of his just-died best friend. So he completely forgets who he is as a person and then goes through the entire game having effectively, like, migraines and mental breaks when things happen that he shouldn't know about.
Is that like a limit break?
Kind of, but worse.
Oh.
And then he falls into the core of the planet, effectively, has his
Crisis?
Original persona put back into his
persona!
Brain. And then he has to realize, oh shit, I'm not all I was cracked up to be or thought I was.
I'm Sephiroth!
Fuck, I'm a dude who lied to all my friends. And then he has to watch another very close friend die, which he fails to stop.
Sephiroth.
And it's... And then in the sequel movie, he spends the entire time basically dying of cancer. And he's like, oh, fuck, I couldn't save my best friend. I couldn't save Aerith. I couldn't stop myself from dying. I can't look after any of my friends and loved ones. He is a trauma-riddled individual. And fuck off. If you think Cloud is boring, you weren't paying attention.
I have one more supportive point for this. And this stems back to me looking at the cast and being like, he's not just a generic white guy. I'm now going to read you a little bit of the backstory of Cid Highwind. Cid is a former Shinra engineer and rocket scientist who has an unfulfilled dream of sending a rocket to space. Cid mistrusts the company. When one of its executives attempt to steal his plane, he joins the allies to fight Shinra. That's his whole deal.
He's also
someone stole my plane.
He's also an abusive dick who constantly swears and like has a go at his live-in wife.
He's short-tempered and chain-smokes cigarettes.
I'm just going to throw it out there. Tifa Lockhart, and this might shock everyone who thinks that I've probably got a massive boner for Tifa, which, you know, kind of, but not the point.
Not that massive.
Tifa, and this is something Coda has put me onto, Tifa is the generic girl next door that is just there to support the main character.
Yeah.
Not so much in Rebirth and the remake project. She's been fleshed out a lot, which is great.
Can I ask this? Like, all right, the original Final Fantasy. We're talking about the original Final Fantasy.
The first game.
Yes, the first game.
Okay.
Was Aerith fridged?
Wait, are we talking 7 or original Final Fantasy
1? No, sorry, the original Final Fantasy 7.
What do you mean by fridged?
Well, you know how you... Brayden, do you want to explain fridging a female character?
Fridging is when you take one of the female characters that the male protagonist is interested in, you kill them for the main and protagonist to go, ah, and move the plot forward.
Basically, they're nothing but a plot device in order to put the male, white, generally white male's story forward.
I would agree with the sentiment that possibly... But also no. Mm. So like, yes, because her death in the original is instrumental in moving the story forward.
Sephiroth.
But it doesn't exist purely for that. Like, Aerith, I think it was Aphrenix just said, I could write a thesis on this plot and this game, and I could.
He should.
But 7 originally, like, the plot was totally different, and then the development team experienced a loss, like a death in the family, and that's why Aerith dies.
Sephiroth.
She was originally meant to stick around a lot longer and be more integral to the plot, but they were like, no, you know what? I'm going to sort of process my personal like trauma and loss through this story, and we're going to do this now.
One last Final Fantasy VII question.
Yes.
Is it Aerith or Eris?
Eris or Ares was the
God of
mistranslation
War.
From the original Japanese name to Western English.
Cool.
So it was meant to be Aerith.
Yeah.
Because meant to sound like Earth. But yeah, they mistranslated it and came up with
just like
Ares, which...
Street Fighter 2, you know, when Ryu wins and he goes, you must defeat Shenlong to stand a chance. And everyone thought Shenlong was his teacher.
Yeah.
No, they just misinterpreted Shuriken.
Yeah.
How good are English people, everyone?
Yay.
Anyway, I'm going to... Michael Towns had some really, really good points. I just want to... I'm going to quick fire these, all right? So we're going to go woo-boo really, really quick. All right, ready?
Hang on.
First one, Mario World is a great game, but it's mid. Mario 3 was better, and Yoshi's Island was a much better entry into the World Series.
Woo.
Braden?
Woo.
You haven't played any of them, have you? No, I'm also wooing.
I played some of them.
Rare developed 3D platformers, haven't aged nearly as well as Mario 64.
Woo.
Braden?
I'm sorry, I'm just so freaking young. I'm sorry. I was born when Final Fantasy VII came out.
So you haven't played Banjo-Kazooie? Banjo-Tooie?
No, I haven't played Banjo.
Conkers?
I've touched Mario 64 and went, yep, this feels like an old game.
How dare you?
I will expand on this point very quickly. Sorry. It will not be a thesis.
Mm-hmm.
Rare games are a better first playthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Subsequent playthroughs are boring.
However, I cracked open Banjo-Kazooie probably a year or two ago. Still holds up. Still a fun game.
Still a fun game, but not as good as Mario 64. Playthroughs as Mario 64 is.
Correct. Correct. All right, another one. The 2DS is a way more comfortable system than the 3DS. The 3DS XL's okay, though not as comfy as the DSi XL.
I will woo the 2DS being more comfortable than the original 3DS. I will not woo 3DS XLs being more comfortable than DSIs because they are the same.
Brayden?
I'm going to say woo as well. And like, I'd like the 2DS. Like, whoa, genius.
Mm.
I wish I had one. Didn't they do a 2DS XL as well?
Yeah, that's the one I've got now.
That's the kiosk that I've got just to your left there, Brad.
Yeah, it was just the clamshell, but it's a normal...
And it's perfect.
DS, just no 3D. Just it's perfect, yeah.
Perfect. It's the perfect system.
It's almost like they nailed it on the first try.
I will also say, incidentally, for people who are collecting, the 3DSs, not the DSIs, the one before that was just straight 3D. No, just the normal DS. The DS Lite.
DS Lite, sorry.
Super collectible at the moment. Really? Everyone wants one. Yeah, super, okay. Super collectible. Going for about $80, $90.
I'm happy with my Final Fantasy one.
Specifically, the pink and the light blue ones.
Oh, okay.
Really collectible because you can play Game Boy Advance games on them.
Yeah, true.
All right, last one from Michael Towns. Hot takes. DualShock 1 to 3 are the worst controllers ever made and Sony only started making decent ones by the DS4. The Xbox Duke is more comfortable than a PS2 controller. Brayden.
Huge boo.
Why huge boo?
Huge boo. Get the fuck out.
Brayden's a PS2 kid.
Are you kidding me? The PS2 is like...
Show us your arm, Brayden.
So good.
Show us your arm.
I'm rocking a PS1 without DualShock, the joysticks or anything. Like, man. Oh, man.
Just in the live chat.
Filthy.
Just in the live chat, We Are Robots agrees. He's wooing.
Okay, well, I mean, I trust We Are Robots, like, opinions on controllers, because they're literally, like, their whole deal is controllers.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you gave me the choice to hold, like, a PS1 controller or an Xbox Duke, I would choose the PS1 controller.
You know, I've got them both in that room, Braden.
But the PS2 is mint. I agree that the PS3 was eh. And then PS4, I mean, 5 is perfect.
Anto?
I'm going to boo all of it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, elaboration on the Xbox bit when I get there, but DualShock 1, 2, and 3, same controller, effectively. Absolutely. The only difference was the analog buttons that you could press in for more pressure on the PS2. The only downside for the PS3 controllers was the triggers were a little weird. Other than that, still fine.
What, you didn't like watching a movie and then putting your controller down and it's skipping to the next scene?
That's exactly why I don't like that controller
or
much.
Or the six-axis.
Six-axis was fine. It just, you know,
that's what
whatever.
You get for using your freaking console. Games. Don't use your console as a media center. It's for games.
DualShock 4, perfect controller design. Most comfortable one. DualSense, PS5 controller, hate it.
Oh.
Like, I will use it and I can use it without complaint, but if you put a DualSense in my hands and then tell me to hold a PS4 controller, so much improved.
Wow.
I think the, and this is weird because like my hands aren't huge, but like I feel like the, hang on, no, wait. My hands are pretty big.
Man,
there we go.
Everyone, the
chat is going off.
What was I saying? Fucking, wow. Yeah. PS5 controller is too big for my hands. Like, they start to hurt after a couple hours.
Okay.
I don't like the texture on them. Like, it's a cool design idea. But we live in a country that regularly hits over 30 degrees.
Wet.
Your hands start to feel like butter after a couple of, well, not even hours sometimes. You know, the even if you wash your hands frequently, the original white DualSense starts to get scudgy and discolored because you're just touching it.
Yeah.
Like, don't like it as a general design. It's perfectly serviceable.
On the grip, one of my friends recently just got a PS5 and, I happened to like be at their place and pick up their PS5 controller to move it off the couch. And I picked it up and went, whoa, this feels so weird because it's fresh. And like the grip is also really nice and new.
Like it's perfectly serviceable. The touchpad's nice. The triggers and the haptic feedback, all that stuff. Like the advancements of tech in the controller, wonderful. Just put it in the PS4 controller's form factor and it would be better.
I'll just say, Switch Pro, baby! Bam!
And not just an Xbox controller?
Best controller.
I'm just going to throw it out there that to this day, the best, most comfortable controller in the world, even with the offset sticks, is the Xbox 360 controller.
Whoa, yeah.
Yeah, it's just the most comfortable one. Switch Pro is kind of there as well, but Wii U Pro was also pretty good. Controllers were up on the top, buttons were down. It kind of made sense. Like, why has no one ever redone that?
By the way, if you do need a PS5 controller that's not white, We Are Robots is happity. He's a happity boy.
Happity boy.
And he's happity to service you. So head on over to We Are Robots and they will happily service your controller.
Brain and I both just like, oh.
But some of those hot takes were from Michael Towns, our beloved producer Patreon. And Michael Towns also is a Game Boy dev for Game Boy Games. Anto.
Hello.
What kind of things does Michael Towns do?
Michael Towns makes Game Boy games.
Really?
Yeah.
What type?
Well, things like the floppy game.
The floppy game?
Which we were in.
We were.
Well, I wasn't in it.
No,
Antu was.
No, you were, but Antu killed you.
Antu killed me and took my place,
spoiler.
Yes.
Spoiler. Oh, we said we weren't going to spoil anything.
No,
oh.
We said we weren't going to spoil Rebirth. Spoiler alert, everyone is dead. No, that's fine, they're not.
I'm going to spoil the floppy game. I save the day or I die. I can't remember which one.
I'm pretty sure you turn into Spider-Ben and then you die.
Did I die?
I think so.
I don't know.
We need to replay it.
Yeah, we should.
But he also does things like converts popular Flash games, such as Scary Maze Game, into Game Boy games. Mm. There's also Avcon 2019. Yep. Bonesy, if you like Trauma. Yeah, there's a few others.
So Michael Towns in the live chat over on twitch.tv/hatthedino has just said floppy rebirth. And did I make a placenta joke last week?
Should just be a digitized version of floppy coming out of the rhino like in Ace Ventura.
No.
Cool.
Braden, what do you like most about Michael Towns and his Game Boy games?
I like how they really utilize the screen dimensions and like resolution and pixel density on the Game Boy screen to like hyper realistically represent Floppy exiting a fake rhinoceros's asshole.
Not
much,
fake.
Much like in Ace Ventura.
Nature Calls.
Nature Calls, thank you. That's the one. Man, at least that one isn't transphobic.
Yes. Way to ruin a freaking great movie, Jim Carrey. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
Product of its time.
Braden, you got anything to plug?
Not acceptable. Product of its time.
Plugs?
I mean,
butt plugs?
I've never measured. what do you want from me? Which I have so many holes.
A Buster Nut sword.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
it's Sephiroth. A giant dildo.
Goddamn.
Again,
I think the Sephiroth body pillow would be a really funny weapon to add to Final Fantasy VII.
It'd just be moist.
Anto, what do you think the third game's going to be called?
Well, okay, so now we're getting into theory crafting territory and we might be here a while. So to cut it short, they can't call it Reunion because that was what the remake of Crisis Core was called. So I don't know. Honestly,
Reunion.
I would have said Reunion, but I just don't know anymore.
What if it's just
It could be something like Reawakening.
What about Deunion?
I don't know. No, I'm pretty sure they're going to continue the re-something.
Oh, okay.
And let's... Yeah.
What about...
No.
Here it is. This is it.
I swear, Final if you're going Fantasy, where I think you're going, no. It's going to be bad.
Final Fantasy Ryu. Ryu's playable. And he's going around Hadouking, Shuriking everyone.
That'd be sick.
God damn it. God damn it.
Final Fantasy Ryu, yes!
I don't know what I was expecting, but like, it was that. I just didn't know it yet.
I think it's going to be something like Reawakening purely because of plot points that happen with Cloud.
Afronix in the live chat has said Reunite.
Reunite could also happen.
Reunite. I think it's going to be Final Fantasy VII Religion.
Boo! Anyway, Braden, what do you got to plug?
I have another little show that I do with some friends. Mm-hmm. That you can go check out after you go to Greenlight Comics. And if you go to greenlightcomics.com, you can see all the hard work that I put in over there. And it still only just barely works, but the blog's great. But you should come into the shop because we moved.
We did. I didn't. Well, I helped.
You helped. But yeah, if you haven't been in, you should come check us out. You can access us from Gola Place, just off Rundle Mall.
And if you'd like to buy a Buster Nut sword, you can get them through Greenlight Comics.
That's it.
Just go in there and go up to whoever's at the desk and ask for a Buster Nut sword.
Specifically only if it's Dan.
Yes.
Dan's the only one who has the keys to the cabinet.
You know a Buster Nut sword will end up in Dan's game if we tell him about it.
It's so true.
Braden.
Yes.
Are the Greenlight Comics team aware that there are still two Star Wars figures in the old shop window?
100%.
Okay, good.
No, we're still painting up the old shop. So that
okay, cool.
And so, what do you got to plug?
Nothing.
Very quickly.
Normally,
Back to Braden.
Sorry, I have one actual cool thing to plug, other than my place of business that pays me, and that's this other thing, Millennium Movie Talk that I do. You should go watch. Alex did a vlog of his entire trip going to WWE Elimination Chamber in Perth.
Nice. I will watch that.
And going to the press day, going to chat with the superstars, and being in the media pit right down the front.
Ooh,
it's very fun. And then he got to hang out and chat and interview with Kevin Owens. The wonderful Tiffany Stratton, who's been killing it lately.
Tiffany Stratton!
The EST, Bianca Belair, who he had an excellent interview with because they talk about her other show that's available on Disney Plus, about her and her partner, and how they make a marriage work while also being WWE superstars. And, of course, he also got a short 20 seconds with Rhea. And they talk about Villies in Adelaide. It's very wholesome.
A little behind the curtain, parting kimono. So there was one of the bigger Australian wrestling federations is in Perth. It's called EPW, Explosive Pro Wrestling. I know a lot of the guys there. A lot of the WWE superstars were backstage at that show because they had WWE tryouts the day before the Elimination Chamber.
Nice.
I can't say too much. But we will be seeing more Aussies in the WWE very, very
that's
soon.
That's sick. Exciting. But it's worth checking out. It's very fun. And he just gets to show you a bit of everything of what he got. So good fun.
Anto.
So normally this would be the bit where I plug my Instagram page, Final Fantosi. I would have been showing off, you know, the deluxe of Rebirth that came with its soundtrack and its art book and its steel case and other bits and pieces I got as pre-order bonuses. But I made the very sensible decision to basically shut down my social media about 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
They're not gone forever. They're just disabled temporarily because we're in sort of peak. Everyone is talking about, writing about, and doing stupid shit like spoiling main plot points the day of release.
For spoilers.
Right. So, yeah. It was about 2 weeks prior to launch. One of the main plot points of the game was spoiled for me.
Oh, good.
So I just went, cool, screw it. I'm getting rid of socials for a bit. I will be back on Instagram when I finish Rebirth, which, if first time playthrough counts as anything to go by, should be another 30 or so hours from now.
So tomorrow.
No, not tomorrow. I will be packing and moving things tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
Anto, I didn't think it was too big a deal that they spoiled the 3-hour bathhouse scene.
In fact, I found it quite...
tasteful.
Yeah, yeah, really, really well done. Mm. The way they framed the Buster Nut Sword in all the shots was just...
Yeah, the Buster Nut Sword happening right at that moment where you see the bikinis for the first time.
That's right.
Why
did it grow so big in that scene? I don't understand. Can you explain it to me?
Well, Ben, what happens in a physiological...
I haven't done my plug yet. We can't cut the show.
No.
We'll get back to that.
What was I going to say? Yeah, no. I'll be back on Instagram and socials probably in the next sort of 3-4 days-ish, hopefully, when I finish my first playthrough. But yeah, the reason I'm off of them at the moment is because literally day one, I made the stupid decision to go on a couple of gaming websites, and the first thing I saw was, hey, here is when so-and-so dies.
Sephiroth.
So yeah, I was pretty pissed, and yeah, just fucking... Yep. Ugh.
They do it for the clicks.
Apparently it's because like people like knowing what happens, but they want to. They're more interested in seeing like how they get to that point.
Correct. So I am discovering this over at Super Retro Squad, which you can go and subscribe to on YouTube. It's my little YouTube video that I make when I go out. I get a GoPro, I clip it to my bag, and I go walking around and I go looking, and you can come and look at things for me. And 100%, the better performing videos are the ones where you have a piece that you have found front and center, and it says, retro item found at this market. And then the trick is putting it in the video to get people to watch it,
yeah.
But not tick off as
finding
well.
Like a point where the peak watch moment.
Yeah, I've
is.
Started to play yeah. around with the editing a bit. So I've started taking, like at the end, I and sometimes Julian go through what we got and sort of the story leading up to it. Mm. So you've just watched us hunting, and then all of a sudden, then we explain what went on during that process, and I take a little slither out. So like one that's coming out in a couple of weeks, I found a Pokemon Sapphire game last weekend, and I held it up to the camera, and I got it at a really good price. And I said, I found this. It's not a rare game, but it's a sought-after game. And I got it for this much. And just as I turn it to a reveal the sticker, I cut it. And then Brilliant. You have to watch the whole thing until the very end. That's how we get you.
Yeah, it's the hook.
It's the hook.
It's what gets people in, yeah.
But the thumbnail is me. It is like me picking it up and showing that I've got it. Because people don't necessarily want to see you discovering things. That's a nice cheeky bonus. But yeah, you definitely have to hook them in with, don't worry, this is worth your time. And they have to decide whether what you are showing on that thumbnail is worth their time watching to see how you got to it.
Do you know what's really annoying though?
What's that?
You've discovered this, but now we're getting to the point with media where, especially on TikTok, you're going to need to start using the automated robotic sounding voices and putting in footage of you playing Subway Surfer on it. Because otherwise people won't pay attention.
I'm not doing that, ever.
I can't believe I found this at the Adelaide market.
Yep, okay, we're at the end of the show, but we've been Hack the Dino. It's been our gaming cast, where we bring you the past, present, and future of video games news, previews, and discussions. That's right, I tricked you all. I left it right at the end after we got our plugs in. Ha ha, I've outsmarted you. Wait, don't go. We've got Buster Nut Swords here. We're gonna have a pillow fight.
Except for
a
body pillows.
Yeah. We're not having a fight. We're just gonna,
yeah.
Yeah, it's nut busting good.
Sometimes I like to just leave it so that you guys hang a little bit. Because sometimes some gold comes through. And I feel like you're this close.
Braden, stop edging us.